The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Let's go! Yeah! For those of you that want to know what we're all about, it's like this, y'all. 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, and 100% reason to remember the name.
It's time to talk about the high school sports scene in Arizona and beyond. Welcome to the Coach's Corner with the coach, Scott Lovely. We are the first internet sports radio talk show focusing on the high school sports scene. And here's your host, Coach Lovely.
Good afternoon, good evening, Arizona high school sports fans. I am the coach, Scott Lovely, and welcome to today's Coach's Corner. Boy, talk about a busy Monday. Today we've got so much stuff we're going to cover, but first we want to start off by congratulating a bunch of champions that were crowned this weekend in football. That's right, Arizona State football championships were held this past weekend, and we've got a couple guests that we're going to bring on in just a second, but I want to kind of give a shout out to a couple schools. We're going to try and pull a couple other coaches in next week and talk with them. Things have been crazy here this weekend for a lot of the coaches. I want to congratulate Blue Ridge with their victory over Sholo 35-14 in their state championship. Also, Yuma Catholic over Northwest Christian in a tight ball game, 21-19. Congratulations to those schools. Also, congratulations goes to Scottsdale Chaparral over Cienega, winning 37-14 for their third straight title. And then, of course, the biggest upset this weekend. That's right, a huge upset. Nobody picked this. Well, actually, that's probably not true. I'm sure some Thunder fans picked it. But Desert Vista upended Hamilton, and not just a squeak by win either. I'm talking Desert Vista went out, took care of business, 45-19 over Hamilton, breaking Hamilton's three straight state championships and their 53-game win streak, bringing that to a halt. So congratulations to the Thunder. We're going to try and get Coach Hines on next week. We kind of were missing back and forth all day. I'm still trying to reach out to him, so we're going to get him next week. But this football season, we kind of been following Saguaro Sabercats and their journey to a football championship, and their playoff road took them up to Flagstaff to play against Cactus, and Saguaro got their championship 31-23, so we want to congratulate the Saguaro Sabercats. And now, joining us for the first segment of the show, head coach John Sanders and football star DJ Foster from Saguaro High School. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you. Thanks, Coach.
All right, so hey, Coach, congratulations on, what is this, 4 out of 5 championships now for you?
Yeah, 5 out of 6 years.
Five out of six.
State championship at Saguaro High School, so it's been a great run. It was a great way to finish the season this year again for our seniors.
Yeah, you guys have had a great season, and I know that you guys weren't too shocked to hear about the Desert Vista win over Hamilton, because you guys played them to a stalemate until the last 2.5 seconds on the clock when they kicked that field goal a little bit earlier in the year. That's a pretty tough team.
Yeah, we knew they well. We had heard all along that, Dan Hines had his best team ever and that they were the ones that were going to be the ones to beat Hamilton. And so we knew when we played them that we were getting one of the best big schools, you know, in Arizona when we had a chance to play them and compete with them earlier in the season. So, yeah, it was a good deal. They beat us with no time left with a field goal, and we knew they had a really good football team.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the Cactus victory and getting your fifth state championship. Talk to us a little bit about that experience this year with these guys and the championship run.
Well, you know, starting the season off, no one really gave us a chance. I mean, of course, we had DJ Foster, who is the best player in the state of Arizona, maybe the best in the country. I know I wasn't trading for any 2 or 3 players that anyone else had. So he makes a big difference for us. But we knew he had the nucleus of winning a championship. it was the goal that we set all along together as a team. And the players went about taking care of business and following the steps to accomplish that goal. So, you know, it was the steps that they took to get to the state championship, and they did a great job getting there.
Now, DJ, are you there?
Yes, sir.
DJ, you had a crazy year, buddy. I mean, you finished the year with 3,000 yards rushing. Now, Coach, was he the number one rusher in the nation?
Well, he led the nation in points, and he led the nation in touchdowns, and I'm not sure where we're at with the rushing stats. I don't think DJ's looked at stats at all year long. He's been a great team player, and with all the individual success he's had, he's given a lot of love back to his teammates. It's been great having him.
Well, now, buddy, now that the season's over, DJ, you know, all the individual accolades are going to come flowing in. I mean, you've had a phenomenal season. What was it, 54 touchdowns this year, 3,000 yards, you know, and we did a television show on you, or a pilot television show on you, called the Beyond the Bench with Coach Scott Lovely, and we kind of followed you around and talked with you and watched you, and man, I tell you what, When the ball gets put in your hands, there's some pretty awesome things that could happen at any given moment in time. So it's really fun to watch you play this season. And
Thank you.
Wherever you end up next year, it's going to be awesome. So let's
I'm excited. I'm excited to move on.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your season and how you're wrapping up your year now, and you know, what you're looking forward to doing during the off season. Hello?
Hello?
DJ, is that you? Is that your phone? Okay. So let's talk a little bit about what you're looking forward to doing during the off season.
Definitely get back in the weight room. I really want to just get my body healthy again, kind of rest up for a week, and then just work on from there. I'm playing in a bowl game January 3rd, Semper Fidelis Bowl, so I got to get ready for that, and that's really it.
Let's talk about that bowl game, because I'm glad you brought that up. Where's that bowl game being played? And Coach Sanders is actually coaching in that game, isn't he?
Yeah.
So let's talk about
excited.
That.
I think it's going to be at the Cardinal Stadium, if I'm not mistaken. So
University of Phoenix Stadium, and it's on January when?
January 3rd, I'm pretty sure.
January 3rd, okay. So now let's talk a little bit about your season. I mean, you guys have pretty much kind of cruised through the season, gotten to the playoffs with a decent draw. I mean, you kind of, the Chaparral situation put you guys in a fifth seed, I think it was.
Yeah.
And so you ended up having to travel down to Sabino, and people were kind of concerned that having to go through that number one seed was going to be the hiccup in the road for you guys. How did your team handle that situation, and how did you guys come out of that situation as a group?
I mean, anytime you got to travel that far, it's hard to stay focused and keep the team going. Just know what, we're so close to the championship and not to look ahead to the championship. So I think our team played really good. We knew that we were going against a great team. We just had to just bring our A game. And I think everyone stepped up and we played. That was probably one of the best games I've seen our defense play this whole year. So our defense was really good.
Now, you guys had a young QB back there this year.
Yep.
And you did all of this with a sophomore quarterback, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so now we talked about this earlier this season. With you now being the graduating senior and you're leaving, and you get to will your shoes to the next person on the team that's going to be the next leader and step up and be the next DJ Foster for the team, whether it be offense or defense. You know, who are you tagging to be that next guy, the one who everybody's going to be talking about at Saguaro football next year?
I think our quarterback, Luke Cabenza, and then we have a freshman, Christian Kirk, that played, both of them played tremendous this year. And, I mean, Luke was just as much of a leader as I was this year. I mean, being at that back position, you can't be nothing else besides the leader. So, I mean, I got a lot of respect for him. He's going to do great things, I think, in the years to come.
Well, thank you, buddy. I appreciate you joining us today. Is there anything that you want to say to your fans, to the people who are Sabercat fans out there, you know, before you get off here?
I just want to say thank you for supporting me and everything I've been able to accomplish this season and everything, all the accomplishments and everything. So, I mean, a lot of respect for everybody, and I appreciate it.
Okay. Hey, thanks for joining us, DJ.
Thanks,
and we'll be talking real soon.
All right, sounds good.
Okay. So, Coach, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So, Coach, let's talk a little bit about, you know, how much time are you going to take off? Because I know you're a workaholic. So how much time do you plan on taking off before you start getting back into the groove with the things and moving forward?
Well, on Sunday afternoon at around 3 o'clock, my phone rang in my office at school. And I said, I wonder who would think that I would really be in my office right now and having won a late-night state championship. And it was Joe Pacoia from CBS, and he said, hey, Coach, I just got to tell you, I knew you would be in there. And I just laughed. So I told the kids today, we start workouts tomorrow, formal workouts. We turn in our gear, and we start. It's just really something that you just got to – it's a year-round thing. It really is. We get go through the banquet, and we get through off-season workouts. And these kids that have won the state title 5 out of 6 years at Saguaro, you know, I have a lot of respect for the work ethic they've had because they're made in the classroom and they deal with the demands that Saguaro football puts on you.
It's becoming more of an expectation that you win a state title there every year, Coach.
The scary thing is it's becoming ho-hum. And I know how hard it is to do and what a great feeling it is to do, and it's such a great game to be involved in the final game of the week and play for the state championship is so much fun.
So now,
it's something that we strive for every year. We try to get there every year.
Okay, so I'm going to put you on the spot here, Coach, because I know I know what's happened to you in the past. I know what's going on, and I know that with all these coaching vacancies now starting to pop up at the college level, are you starting to get some phone calls? Some people asking you if you're interested in moving areas?
Well, you know, I have a lot of connections with people out there in the college world, and it's always fun to hear from them. But I'm planning on coming back in and going after another championship at Saguaro High School. That's my goal next year.
All right. Well, you heard it here, SaberCat fans. You don't have to worry about Coach going anywhere. He's going to stay. Because I know the phone is ringing, Coach. So, hey, congratulations, my friend. I'm very happy for you.
Yeah, appreciate you, and thanks for all you do for high school sports, Coach.
All right, and we'll be talking soon, Coach.
All right. Bye.
All right. So there you have the Saguaro Sabercats head coach, John Sanders, and superstar football player DJ Foster, who still is undecided as to where he's going to go to school, and that announcement is going to come up pretty soon here. I know there's some things shaking out, and once that happens, he'll come back on the show here and announce his decision as to where he's going to go to school. That's right. You heard it. I am going to have DJ on to talk about his decision of where he wants to go to school in the near future. So once again, I want to congratulate Saguaro for their state championship, Blue Ridge for their state championship over Sholo 35-14, Yuma Catholic over Northwest Christian 21-29, Chaparral Firebirds, another Scottsdale school. That's two state championships out of Scottsdale. Chaparral and Coach Charlie Rangel over Siena gets 37-14, and Desert Vista with a big upset nationally, sent some national shockwaves in that situation. Desert Vista over Hamilton 45-19, and that was a big win. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have so much news to cover. We're going to be joined by two Jackies. That's right, you heard me. We're going to have Jackie, that sports babe, Taylor, and we're also going to be joined by Jackie Pepper. We're going to talk some college football. We're going to talk some coaches being fired, some being hired, and rumors that are circulating around. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach, Scott Lovely. We'll be back in just a few.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
What does building a family mean to you? Nobody has experienced the pain and joy of family life in a way that Freddie Scott has. And his experiences in life, in sports, and business can help you create a successful family future. We'll cover many aspects of family building and management with a focus on fatherhood. Men and women want their families to succeed during these tough times. Our show will give you hope for the future and practical tools for a successful family. Tune in to the Freddie Scott Show, Tackling the Game of Life, Mondays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Sports. When it comes to youth and high school football, listen each week to Coach Al Gross at First and Ten Football. Coach covers vital topics relating to the latest trend on a national level. Join Coach as he interviews personalities from the NFL, NCAA, and the top high school coaches from around the country. Catch all the interviews and get in-depth information online at www.firstandtenfootball.com. Your national resource for youth and high school football. First and Ten Football airs Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
Sports have become a big part of everyone's lives today. We all have that team that we live and breathe to follow. We watch hours of football on TV, play Madden Sports on our gaming system, and our wives can't seem to tear us from the couch. If this sounds like you, or if you're a football wife who wants a few words, we want to hear from you. Listen for Life, Love, and Sports, featuring your host, Ron Dixon. Ron takes you inside the world of sports and finds out what you, the fan, are talking about today. Listen Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
This is the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll-free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the show. That's right, this is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach Scott Lovely, and today there's so much news breaking out there in the college football scene. This past weekend was Arizona State Football Championships, and we just kind of took care of that for a little bit. And now we're going to jump to college football and some breaking news out of there. And I know that this has kind of been a rumor for, well, probably since Wednesday of last week, and there were denied reports about it. But then again, today, bam, Urban Meyer was officially introduced as the Ohio State football coach. And I have two people that are joining me right now that I know have opinions about that. We're joined by Jackie, that's Sports Babe Taylor, and we're joined by Jackie Pepper of Jackie Pepper Sports, and we're going to refer to her as Pepper since we have two Jackies on. So, Pepper, let's talk a little bit about the Urban Meyer situation and Ohio State.
All right. Well, what do you think? Are you happy that he's going there? Do you think it's a good move?
You know what? It's interesting because here he comes from Utah and Bowling Green, and he's had a Florida, was at Florida and has compiled 104-23 record in 10 years. Now, here's my question. It's like, what, with that type of success that he's had, I guess this is his dream job. Why would you go there having to deal with all the crap from the fallout of Jim Tressel and the NCAA sanctions that have yet to be leveled?
Right. I actually heard some different opinions from other media people, and I think everyone thinks that there's no way he'll even last the entirety of his contract. So once any type of rules do come down in terms of rule violations and perhaps vacating either wins or losing scholarships, that Meyer will run for the hills as soon as that happens. So I think people are just really hoping to get the best out of him for the shortest amount of time until the blank may hit the fan. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, you know what? Let's actually, I'm remiss.
Around here, Pepper. Go for it.
I'm remiss in having introduced you. So let's introduce you to our fans so that they understand your credentials, because you come in here with some heavy information, some good knowledge. Let's talk a little bit about who you are and where you're from. First off, Arizona fans. She is a U of A graduate.
Yay, bear down, go Cats.
Now you guys know how I feel about the U of A, but she's a U of A fan, so we'll throw that out there, and she's a graduate of the U of A. So, Jackie, let's tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
All right, well, let's see. Here's the quick resume. I'm from Southern California. I went to college at U of A, which you mentioned. I got my start in television in production. I actually worked a U of A University of, oh no, not UW, Washington State football game as a production runner for ABC Sports back in 2004, and that's how I got my foot in the door in terms of sports broadcasting. I worked as a production assistant, which is a very, very trying job. You're the last man on the bottom of the crew, and you do all the work. So I did that for several years, traveling all over the country doing the college football circuit. My A crew was Keith Jackson and Dan Fouts, so that was a really great way to start in the business. And I did that for several years, and I became a production assistant at NFL Network for almost 2 years in LA before I decided to make a demo reel and pursue my dream of becoming an on-air sports broadcaster. So after a couple months of sending out my DVD, I ended up in Pocatello, Idaho for my first on-air job. I was there for a while, the one-man band, shooting, editing, producing, everything. And then I landed in Boston for Comcast Sportsnet New England as an anchor and reporter there, which was an absolute dream. And now I'm job hunting again, but that's the not-so-quick version of my career thus far.
Now, Pocatello, Idaho, that's a huge market.
Yeah, big old market 168.
It's hilarious.
I put it this way. When I moved from Los Angeles to Tucson, Arizona for college, I thought Tucson was a small town. Tucson has a million people now. My town in Pocatello, I mean, my whole area for hundreds of miles had like 115,000 people total. So that was a major, major, major culture shock. But it was an experience I would never, ever trade in. It was really a great time, and I will write a book about it one day because it was that interesting, believe it or not.
Well, and that's why we have her on the show, ladies and gentlemen, because she's got a very wide, a very good breadth of knowledge when it comes to college football and football in general. And so now let's talk a little bit about some of these things that are happening here. Pac-12, there's been like a tsunami hit the Pac-12, I tell you. You've got your coach, Coach Stoops, was bounced out in the middle of the season and replaced by Rich Rod. So, I mean, that's the first firing that took place in the Pac-12. Let's address that one real quick since it's your alma mater.
I've got to give a lot of credit to my mom because she called it. I knew Stoops was going to get canned, but I didn't think Arizona would have the guts to do it mid-season. And my mom, like a couple days before I got fired, she's like, nope, this is it. He's gone. And she was right. I couldn't believe it.
But here's what I'm saying. Didn't they just sign him to an extension?
He wore out his welcome a little bit.
But didn't they just sign him to an extension?
Yeah. What was that, a year ago? Maybe 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And you know what? Here's the thing. All sports, but especially college, with the way that college has become such a financial force. College sports, especially football, you're sitting on a mountain of money. It's a please me now, win now type of industry. And unfortunately, a lot of coaches, there are great coaches out there, but most guys, they need time. I mean, if you're not even giving a guy 4 years to have his freshman recruits graduate as seniors, I mean, it really isn't that fair. This doesn't apply to Stoops in his case, but it's a really, really tough business because of all the money, especially with the TV contracts. And now with TV networks devoted to individual conferences, there is a lot of pressure. And I think it's really tough to be a college football coach right now, as we've seen by, at least four guys getting canned just today.
Well, okay, so I'm glad you said that, because with Stoops out, Rich Rod takes his place down in Tucson. And Rich Rodriguez, former Michigan coach, you tell me, what do you think? Do you think he's going to last there?
Well, as you and I talked about on a text message, I said it depends which Rich Rod we get. Do we get the West Virginia Rich Rod, who was very innovative and did a lot of exciting things out east, or do we get the guy who just couldn't hang at Michigan? And I don't necessarily, I don't think he sucks, okay? You don't find so much success in one place and then none in another. So I'm not sure. I feel like of all places, though, Arizona would be good for him because we don't have a great football tradition of excellence. We're not in Michigan. We're not in Ohio State. There will be less pressure. But the Pac-12 is a really great conference. And the Pac-10 for the last 10 years has had up and down seasons for every team minus USC. So it just depends on what year you come in. But there is a lot of talent. And if he can't succeed in the Pac-12, I'd say within 3 seasons, then that would be a massive failure because with his name, he will be able to recruit top talent. No doubt about it.
And it's funny because if you look at what's happened, and you said 3 years, and 3 years seems to be a magic number because if you look at Dennis Erickson is out today officially as the head coach of ASU.
Yep.
He went 0-4 against Washington, Wazoo, University of California, or Wazoo, UCLA, U of A, and Cal, and that was the death nail for his coffin. Boy, he's gone.
Wow.
Bam.
Did ASU at least beat Oregon State? Did they play Oregon State this year? I try not to watch your Sun Devils if I can avoid it.
Well, they started out 6-2 and then had an implosion. So that was that was it for him. So now, you know, we'll talk about candidates.
And don't forget, Erickson, he went 10-3 in 2007. He was the Pac-10 Coach of the Year, and it's like you can fall so quickly. I remember being a U of A fan just in general. Anytime the ASU is ranked in any sport, it just sends chills down my spine. And I almost believed in ASU for a while, but I always know they're just not good enough. Like, they're just never going to be elite for some reason. And I think it can happen, but it's got to be the coach. They've got to get a big-name guy, but why would a big-name go there? It's a great place to live. I feel like ASU is one of those places that if people really understood, and I hate this is embarrassing to say as a Wildcat, but Phoenix is a great place to live. It's so fun. It's a great place to raise a family. It's like, I think ASU is like a little gem, but because it doesn't have strong tradition, it's just been really hard for them to get the ball rolling in all the different sports, really, other than baseball.
I think you're accurate. I think that's one of the things. Now, big name to replace Erickson. There are no big names out there right now. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Yeah, we'll talk about that. But now, today, Paul Ruff at WSU, Wazoo, Washington State University, rumor has it he's on his way out the door. They haven't officially announced it yet, but that's the rumor. And today, this is the thing that I'm happy about, honestly. I mean, as a coach, I'm never happy to see another coach get fired, but I'll tell you what, I'm a UCLA Bruin fan. I've grown up a big UCLA guy. Neuheisel, done. After getting it handed to him 50-0 against USC, he should have been termed at that spot before he got off the field.
That was a shit show. They should have literally carted him off before the end of the fourth.
Oh, poor Rick. Everyone likes Rick. I don't know the guy. I've met him. But everyone seems to really like him. And I don't feel bad when bad guys get fired. But I really, even though I thought he definitely had to go after getting whooped by SC 50-0, you to not even kick a field goal, are you kidding me?
Hey, there was times where he should have punted the ball.
60-yard line, you better try to kick the ball. I mean, come on, man.
It was fourth.
That's ridiculous.
It was 4th and 1. You're down 16-0. Punt the ball. You couldn't even get a 1st down, 4th and 1. The next time, don't do it again. Punt the ball, man. And he just wouldn't do it. I was frustrated as all get out.
The decisions he was making were absolutely horrific. And I don't know who he had in his ear that was attempting to try to be the hero there, but there was no hope for that game whatsoever about the second quarter on, I thought.
I wasn't.
You know what's really interesting about UCLA, which I didn't realize until I looked it up a couple hours ago? Do you know they never lost back-to-back games this season? In my warped memory, I thought they had started the season like 0-5, and it wasn't the case. They never lost back-to-back games. And they're 6-6 right now. I think that's really interesting because they did manage to beat some good teams. They beat ASU, and they also managed to get killed by terrible teams like Arizona after losing Stoops. You know, U of A just hammered them. It's just, I think his problem is inconsistency. I do think he is a good coach because we did see him make some great decisions, but you can't go 4 years without any consistency. That's not going to cut it, especially in LA. Even if LA isn't, you know, the bell of the ball here, you just can't do that.
Well, and he came in with a whole bunch of hype. I mean, if you remember when he got hired, they had the full page ad in the LA Times about, you know, there's a new sheriff in town and SC better beware. And there was a whole bunch of stuff, a hype around that. Now, we got to take a quick break, but before we go to break real quick, I want to say, you know, there was a couple other firings that we're going to talk about. Zook out at Illinois after an 0-6 finish. Turner Gill out at Kansas, and Memphis fired their head football coach Larry Porter after 2-10 season. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to ask these ladies about their opinion about some of these jobs and who they think could be some candidates, because I'm looking at the horizon and I'm seeing nothing, but we'll see. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the coach, Scott Lovell. We'll be back in just a few.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
This Is It Sports is an engaging talk program that includes you, the experts, and sports, all moderated by Coach Carl Hargrave. We'll talk about what's going on in the general sports world, collegiate and professional, take a look at youth-oriented sports, athletic development and sportsmanship, faith, and where it has its place in sports, along with a lively discussion with Coach Carl every week. Tune in to This Is It Sports with Coach Carl Hargrave every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Football and so much more is the focus of Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson. Join the former Arizona Cardinals running back for a show that mixes, well, a little bit of everything. Damian brings to the program life experiences playing football, and we'll talk about his variety of successes both on and off the field. The goal is to provide you with a fun perspective on life, family, success, and of course, football. Tune in to Planet Gridiron with Damian Anderson, Fridays at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Tired of the same mundane talk radio show, boring opinions, and people not knowing or telling the truth? Tune into The Sports Life with Josh and Otis. This show is brought to you by two men who know the good, the bad, and the ugly of professional sports. Josh and Otis's experience and careers in the NFL give them access to the inside information and a reason to have a candid opinion. Tune into the Voice America Sports Channel Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific. The Sports Life with Josh and Otis. It's more than sports talk. It's a way of life.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
This is the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovelace, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll-free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're back. We're joined by Jackie Pepper and Jackie Taylor, and that's Sports Babe. We're talking about the Pac-12 football and all the terms today and who's available. But I mean, if you look at the Pac-10 or Pac-12, now we have four new coaches that are going to be coming in this year. Rich Rodriguez is the first of the four to fill a vacancy at the University of Arizona. ASU now needs a head coach. Wazoo is going to end up needing a head coach if the rumors bear out that Ruff is out of there. And Neuheisel's out at UCLA, so UCLA is going to be looking for a new head coach. Now, as I'm looking at this, you look at today Urban Meyer accepting the Ohio State job, and you look at Rich Rod, who's also a pretty big name. I mean, that's a pretty big name, big hire for the U of A. You see that now. You've got Oregon being a major player in the Pac-12, and you've got USC with Lane Kiffin being a major player in the Pac-12. They've got to bring in coaches at ASU, Wazoo, and UCLA that can compete with those names. I don't see anybody out there that you can woo to these schools that will be able to compete with those names in the recruiting wars.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, I feel like we might just see a recycling job where guys who got fired end up going to one of the places that they haven't been fired from yet. Either that or some top assistants end up getting new gigs. But I feel like a lot of assistants, they just don't want to take the risk. Why leave, you know, like, why leave a good spot where you can contend for a title? I think it takes a really, really strong and competitive person to jump ship from a winning program and go somewhere that's not as successful.
It's going to take a major name to rebuild the UCLA program. I mean, the UCLA program under Troy Donahue was a prominent program in the country and now has just fallen off to a shameful program, and I don't see anybody that can fill that. But today, like we were talking about on the break, a friend of mine on Facebook hit me and said, hey, what about Jim Tressel? Oh, I hit the brakes on that conversation. But you guys were like saying, yeah, take him, but would he even want it? I don't know, maybe that's the kind of job he needs, somewhere where he can build a program and, you know, I don't know, start over. I don't know.
Like we talked about during the break, the point I made was, would he even want to go to UCLA? And you know, like, that's a bad situation. If you got a guy who got fired who won't even come to your school, but I don't know, part of me thinks that he wouldn't even go to UCLA. It's kind of a fact that there's no such thing as kind of a fact. It is a fact that UCLA just doesn't want to spend a ton of money on a football coach. And the guy's one of the best college coaches in this era, for sure. I think it's going to take a pretty penny to get him somewhere. He could just go to the pro game as an assistant and make a lot of money. So really depends on how much they'd be willing to shell out to see if he'd even be willing to go there and compete against Lane Kiffin and USC. I know it's crazy to say that.
Yeah, well, I mean, but that's the bottom line. Right now,
I still think Lane Kiffin is a clown, but that's another story for another time.
And I'm the only one who likes him. I swear, I have not met one other person that likes that man except for me.
Why?
But the bottom line is that USC and Oregon own the Pac-12 conference right now. So in order for these other schools to even come to compete, they've got to bring a coach in that can compete with those two schools.
Oregon would whoop USC's ass on a bad day.
Well, let's go ahead and that would be interesting.
What happened like 2 weeks ago.
let's go ahead and move on to the NBA now, because there's other big news. We got some other things we want to cover here, but the NBA, being the lockout's over.
Yay.
Do you say yay or do you say who cares?
Are you kidding me? I get to go back to the Laker game on Christmas Day. I'm freaking ecstatic. I woke my assistant up at 3 o'clock in the morning. He thought I was in jail. And he's like, what's going on? Swear to God, he thought I was in jail. What's going on? What are you doing? I'm like, we get to go back to work on Christmas. He's like, huh? And I'm like, NBA is back. They made a final agreement they finally came to an agreement. And he's like, what? Leaped out of bed like a child on Christmas who just got his big red bike. Just was flipping out, so excited. And for the whole rest of the day, he kept texting me like 4 or 5 times, I can't believe we get to go back to work. I'm so excited. That was like the best message I've ever gotten at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I'm thrilled. I'm absolutely thrilled. And, you know, my normalcy of being at home at Christmas and my LA house and going to the game on Christmas Day, like it's been my normalcy for 15 years, is back. That's all I wanted.
So yay for you. Okay, now Pepper, yay, or who cares?
Spend the day together, because she'll probably be in L.A.
Oh, gosh, yay, of course. Yeah. Basketball is my first love, and growing up a Lakers fan, that's what made me want to be a sports reporter, so I'm really happy to have basketball back. I just wish this wasn't how we got here. You know, I mean, it really, at least, even though I'm very relieved that the sport is coming back, I'm not going to lie, I have a really bitter taste in my mouth right now. Like, I don't really want to see the players. I don't want to see the owners. I don't want to hear anything from any of them. I still feel for the people who weren't getting paychecks to feed their families, you know, middle class, whatever's left of the middle class, and low income people who are just doing whatever they can to get by. And millionaires and billionaires were fighting, and that's why these people had to file for unemployment and, you know, have trouble taking care of their children. So while I'm really happy it's back, I know that, and listen, even though I might be upset with the situation, I will be watching, I will be covering the NBA, but there are a lot of fans who are pissed. And I do think people are going to stay away for as long as they can help it. People are very angry, and I don't blame them.
I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Exactly.
I tell you what, I want to organize a fan sit-out. I say we go on a lockout. We just do not show up to games for, what was it, 148 days they were out?
Unoccupied basketball. There you go.
Yeah, I say we just do not support the NBA for however long. What was it? I think it was 150 days or something like that.
Something
okay,
around there, yeah.
Fine. So for the next 150 days, we don't turn on an NBA game. We don't show up at an NBA arena. You don't buy an NBA jersey. You don't buy an NBA hat. You don't even say NBA anymore. You just go to high school and college games. And that's how I feel about it. Now let's go ahead and move over to the college game because we're going to go for a break here real quick. But big news out of college today. Bernie Fine, or actually last night, Bernie Fine, associate head coach at Syracuse, fired by Syracuse. And Boeheim came out last night and said, I think it was a good decision.
Yeah, so much for Boeheim going, yeah, I really don't think he did it. Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I was gone all week. I was in California on break. For Thanksgiving, so I really didn't get a chance to see a whole bunch of television, but I did hear about the interview with Fine's wife.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch that?
I heard that basically she had heard some suspicious things on overhearing and having taped it, which I think is even a little more shady. It's like, what are you doing taping your husband's conversations on the phone? But things that sounded a little bit promiscuous in their verbiage.
Okay, here's how it went down. The first man who accused Fine of molesting him went to law enforcement and to ESPN in 2002 or 2003 and disclosed this sexual abuse from when he was a child. He provided an audio tape of a phone conversation of himself and Fine's wife, where she told him, I know he did this to you, about her husband. I'm so sorry. He has problems. He doesn't even think what he's doing is wrong. I wish I could have protected you. She completely, like, unraveled in this phone conversation with the alleged victim, and is really, really disturbing. I read the transcripts on the ESPN website, and, I mean, I was just cringing the whole. It was hard to read, honestly. And it's not that it was graphic. It was just the whole sickness that this woman knew what was going on with her husband in the basement of their house, as this ball boy is spending the night at the man's house in his basement. Like, who does that? He had a home. It doesn't make sense. And what's even weirder is that he was a boy at the time. Also, ESPN says, like, quote, he also had a relationship with Fine's wife when he was 18 years old.
Oh, okay. Hello.
What? So, right. So a relationship, I mean, that must mean a physical or sexual relationship. What other relationship would there be? So this whole thing has just really taken a turn for the Twilight Zone. It's
all
really
right.
Gross.
Hold on. Let me get this straight. So the kid has said he got molested, and I assume this is the same kid that was on ESPN and did the interview, and he looked real shady in and of itself. It looked like he couldn't look anybody in the eye, and he was very awkward and whatnot. That kid who was molested by Bernie Fine was also having a relationship with Fine's wife.
Well, when ESPN across the ticker says he also had a relationship with, I forget the wife's name, Mrs. Fine, when he was 18 years old.
Yep.
Okay, having a relationship, that's what that implies to me.
Oh, my God. What in the world?
Okay, so now here's my question. So here's my question for you two, because we got to go to break here, but I want to get the answer to this question before we do so. Real quick, now, does Jim Boeheim survive this situation? I mean, Joe Paterno didn't. Does Jim Boeheim? Jackie?
Real quick, I don't. Oh, wait.
No.
You're Jackie. Go ahead. Sorry.
You're Pepper today, remember?
Yeah.
You're Pepper today. I'm Jackie. You know what? If Joe Pa knowingly and willingly fell on the sword and said that he would retire, and then they kicked his ass to the curb within a day, I don't think Boeheim laughs either. No, I think they'll tell him to hit the bricks too. Because if he's sitting there supporting him, saying, I don't believe that this happened, and then all of this is coming out as well, when Paterno knowingly came forward and said, I did what I could and everything that was expected of me and as much as I possibly could, short of going to the cops, and still had to fall on the sword, and Boeheim sitting there supporting him without any evidence, he's got to go.
We'll see what happens there. Jack, Pepper?
Real quick, because of the fact that he made not only the police but ESPN aware of this in 2002-2003, and then Syracuse University did an internal investigation in 2005, there's no possible way that between those three entities that Boeheim was not aware of at least the allegations, and once you know about it, you kind of become culpable just on that alone. So I don't know that he's going to be able to survive it, depending on what more unfolds here.
Two legendary coaches taking the fall for things, misdeeds of their assistant coaches and associate head coach. All right, well, here we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk big loss this weekend for the Tar Heels and the UNLV Running Rebels and Coach Dave Rice off to a fast start. We're going to talk about that when we come back. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach, Scott Lovely, joined by the Jackies.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
If you're looking for a radio show about boxing, you usually can't find one until you stop by the Voice America Sports Channel. Tune in to Outside the Ring with former world lightweight champion and U.S. Olympian David Diaz. We'll deliver the knockout punches with our guests as we go inside the minds of today's top fighters. We'll throw in discussion of other sports as well from time to time. Outside the Ring with David Diaz airs every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel. Play ball! If you're looking to talk baseball, even in the offseason, look no further than the King's Corner, talking baseball with former World Series champion Jim Leyritz. Jim's known for a rather controversial stance during his show. He's brutally honest and ready to talk with current and former players, owners, and other key figures to bring you baseball from an insider's view. You won't want to miss a single episode. The King's Corner, Talking Baseball with Jim Leyritz, is heard every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
America Sports.
This is the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach, Scott Lovely, and today we're joined by Jackie Taylor, that sports babe, and we're joined by Jackie Pepper of Pepper Sports. So now, here's what we're talking about when we left. We were talking about Syracuse. Well, now that's off the table. We're going to go ahead and move over to UNC's big loss, number one, University of North Carolina, went to Vegas and fell to the Running Rebels, who are on a roll. Coach Dave Rice, first year at UNLV, has the Rebels off to a 7-0 start. And why is that important here locally? Because local product Kendall Wallace from Mesa, Arizona, is on that team. He's on that roster. And so I just thought it'd be important to bring that up. And I know one of our Jackies has a big-time love for the Running Rebels. So let's talk about that win. Jackie, you were there, weren't you?
Yes, sir, I was. absolutely loving every minute of it. You know, I was hoping that they would break 100 so I could tell my ex-boyfriend, biscuits, because anybody who watches UNC and there's a game at Carolina that they break 100, everybody gets free biscuits at Bojangles. So I was praying that they would, and score was 90-80 at the end, but I was just praying that they'd break 100 so I could throw that in his face. That made me so happy. I literally cried, and I TiVo'd the game at home, and when I came home and watched it, I, of course, weeped again. And then all of a sudden, I see my videographer from my television show that I do in Atlanta. Every 2 weeks, I'm the NBA correspondent for the RHL report, for the Red Hot Box report. And I see my videographer who does all our green screen work here standing right in front of the camera in front of SportsCenter or whoever it was and just like dead middle right to the camera. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's Dave Carafelli. Guy's my age, and he was on SportsCenter just right in the middle of the whole free world. It was a great moment. It was a really great moment.
So now UNLV is off to a great start.
UNC ain't what they think they are, I'll tell you that. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to say it now, and I'll say it again. Harrison Barnes is working to be the next Kwame Brown number one draft pick disappointment. Mark,
well,
my words.
You know, that's... that. Wow.
Hard words spoken here first.
UNC fell from the number one ranking after I lost to UNLV to number five, and I know that hurt because they fell below Duke, who's what, number four, I think. So
gotta
that
love it.
That
UNLV
hurt them.
Went to 18th.
Yeah, UNLV skyrocketed up. Now let's talk about what Coach Rice has done in seven games. I mean, you look at what UNLV's got rolling here, and actually even Tark came out and said that, you know, with the love of the game that Coach Rice has, he can definitely bring UNLV back up to the level that it was when he played at UNLV for Coach Tarkanian.
Well, I talked to Jerry at halftime. I've known him for a long time. Him and my father actually played basketball together when they were 19 years old at Pasadena City College. My father and him have known each other for 60-some-odd years, forever and ever and ever and ever. And I've known him since I went to school there, and then some. He's part of the family, practically. And Jerry and I were talking, and he was like, you know, he's got a handle on these kids, and they totally respect him. And I said, you know what? He's my generation, and he's their generation, because when I was at school at UNLV, he was an assistant coach under Bill Baino when Sean Marion was playing from 96 to 2000-ish. And then roughly a little bit past then, I think, is when he went off to BYU. So he's old school UNLV, and I kind of thought, you know, for a really long time, when he played at BYU or played, was a coaching, assistant coaching at BYU and then coaching initially, I thought, you know, he's such a traitor. We would never welcome him back. But I look at the things that he's done now, and everybody is just amazed at how he has taken over. Everybody respects him. He has got such a handle on those kids, and they're just doing great things. And, you know, we did a whole page spread in many of the magazines and many of the newspapers have said the Dave Rice era has begun. The Dave Rice era has begun as of right now, Saturday.
Well, you know, he's done a great job.
If that doesn't tell you what the Dave Rice era is about, that's what, I mean, I don't know what else could.
He's done a great job. I got a chance to get to know him a little bit last year when I was at Westwind, and he was down looking at some players that we had. And, you know, it was great because we had him on the show last year right after his hire, and I'm a big fan of his and look forward to seeing how UNLV shakes out the rest of the season. They can't have any disappointments now that they've knocked off number one. They got to stay on top of the game.
You know, I said on my Twitter last night, I said, Rebel fans, Cubbies, we get one every year, and it's usually Louisville, but damn it, I'll take this one any day of the week because my ex went there, and there's nothing I like better than rubbing things in people's face when they've done me wrong. So,
all right, so let's talk a little local high school basketball. You guys got some games tipping off tomorrow that we want to make sure you guys get out to. Mountain View and Marcos Deniza. Mountain View's Mark is hosting Coach Dave Stark and the Marcos Deniza team. Gary Ernst is the head coach of Mountain View. They are now 0-1 after falling to Stacy Davis Davis and Fairfax. Stacy put up 19 points and 12 rebounds. So you can guarantee that Mountain View is going to come out ready to play. I don't think I've ever seen that Mountain View team fall too hard, too fast, and they're going to definitely bounce back. Coach Dave Williams at Desert Vista is going to be taking on Coach Charlie Wild over at Pinnacle High School tomorrow at 7 o'clock. The Wild and his team last year were 24-5, and they've got a great team coming back, and they won the Paradise Valley Tournament this last weekend over Desert Vista, or over Deer Valley, 68-40. So they started out the season at 4-0, definitely a game you want to get a peek at. Kevin Hardwick leads his team against Camelback High School tomorrow night, as he walks into their gym 2-1 with both wins over Highland. So it could be a good game. Camelback's 0-1 with a loss to Hayden. Ernie Cobb took over at South Mountain High School, and they take over. They play Tempe tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at Tempe High School. Agua Fria at Desert Ridge, Desert Edge at 7 o'clock. Desert Ridge at Skyline at 7 p.m. Williamsfield and Campo Verde. Also down in the East Valley, you've got Perry at Mesquite High School, 7 o'clock. Coach Mark Knoll, 1-2 with losses to Apollo and Pinnacle, take on Coach John Shaw, who's sitting at 3-1 right now with Mountain Ridge, Corona, and Agua Fria wins. Their only loss right now is to Crosstown Surprise Gilbert High School, who's playing very well right now. Sunny Slope and Independence meet tomorrow at 7 o'clock at Independence High School. Chandler and Dobson tomorrow night at Dobson High School at 7 o'clock. Westwind Prep over at Deer Valley High School tomorrow at 7 p.m. You've got McClintock traveling to Mesa High School, 7 o'clock. Westwood is going to be taking on Desert Mountain up at Desert Mountain. A couple other games to take note of. Brophy College Prep against Mountain Point at Mountain Point, 7 o'clock. Coach Tony Fuller is going to be going into there. I predict that Brophy team is going to have a very strong season this year. I definitely would follow them. Chaparral is going over to Horizon High School, and Centennial is traveling over to Cactus. Now, that's it for this week. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach, Scott Lovely. I want to thank Jackie Pepper for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
I also want to thank, as usual, Jackie the Sports Babe Taylor for joining us. And you know what? We got to do this again because this was fun. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach, Scott Lovely. Remember, leave it better than you found it. Another week in the can. We're out of here. Peace.
Game's over for another week, but come on back next Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific, for another discussion about high school sports and more on the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely on the Voice America Sports Channel.